What is east of the main map of Middle-earth that we all know? Rune, apparently, but what is it like and what role does it play in Tolkien's Legendarium? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover Tolkien's Legendarium in depth, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Almost all of the action in the stories we have of Middle-earth takes place in the confines of that map we have of Middle-earth, or west of it in the lands of Beleriand and Numenor, lost at the end of the First and Second Ages respectively, and the Undying Lands further west. But what about to the east? Well, to the east is Rune, and as is probably appropriate with Tolkien, we should start with the etymology of that word, because Rune is simply the Sindarin or Elvish word for east. So when we talk about Rune, we aren't really talking about a particular nation or kingdom. It's just the generic term for those lands off the map to the east. So within that, there will be a wide range of peoples and places, though Tolkien didn't detail all that or give us a map. Inworld, this is easily explained by the fact that the records we have are Elvish records, or those held by the great kingdoms of men in the western part of Middle-earth. They don't say much about Rune because they didn't really go there. So that said, what is there? Well, let's start with the geography. You'll probably have seen the Sea of Rune on the Middle-earth map, east of southern Mirkwood and northeast of Mordor. That's a vast inland sea with a forest to the northeast and hills to the southwest. The River Running, which starts at the Lonely Mountain, flows into it. That lake is basically the western edge of Rune. As for what lies beyond, we don't have a detailed map, but we do know some things. First, it's big, very big. 450 miles, that's 725 kilometres or so, east of the Sea of Rune, lies Quivienen, the land where the elves first awoke on the shore of another inland sea, the Sea of Helkar, near the Wildwood and the foothills of the Red Mountains. Far east of that, we're told, lies Hil Durion, where humans first appeared. Further east than that lies the shores of the East Sea. Further south once lay another inland sea, the Sea of Ringil and the Yellow Mountains, though they were destroyed in the Battle of the Powers way back in the history of Middle-earth, and basically formed a new channel separating Rune from a new continent, the Dark Land. So we have quite a varied geography. Vast lakes, forests, mountain ranges, hilly lands and plains. Again, we have to remember this isn't just one country, it is diverse and vast, and its peoples are also diverse. I mentioned already that the elves first awoke in Quivienen. Many of them followed the invitation of the Valar to head west, but a lot didn't and stayed where they were. They became known as the Avari, the Unwilling. Over time, some migrated elsewhere in Rune, or to the west, and the High Elves of the West gave them, and the other elves who had never seen the light of the Two Trees of Valinor, a new derogatory nickname, Dark Elves. Whenever we get mentions of them in the Silmarillion, they are not complimentary, it has to be said, saying that they had become evil and savage in the wild, and so on. Though we must remember that the Silmarillion was written mostly by the Western Elves, not the Avari themselves, who may have held different views. In fact, they probably did. So although we aren't given a definitive history of the elves in Rune, it seems that some stayed after the summons of the Valar, and some of those, depending on which version of Tolkien's various concepts of the origins of the orcs you go with, may have been the ones who were corrupted and enslaved by Morgoth to make the first orcs. Those that remained met the early humans who travelled west and taught them language and many skills of civilization, though apparently even then their skills were not a match on the Eldar elves further to the west. And by the Third Age, we are told of 6 tribes of Avari, each with different languages and culture. So Third Age Rune definitely will have some elves, probably quite dispersed and advanced by human standards. Rune was also the home to 4 of the 7 houses of dwarves, the Iron Fists, Stiff Beards, Blacklocks and Stonefoots. We don't know huge amounts about these houses, but they clearly kept in touch with their brethren in Western Middle-earth, because many of them came to the aid of the Longbeards in the War of the Dwarves and Orcs. We're also told that as the Third Age drew to a close, many more migrated west to escape the growing shadow. But the largest population in Rune is the human population. Men first awakened in the far east of Rûn, and many migrated westwards. Prime among them were the three tribes which became known as the Edain, whose successors became the Numenoreans, then the Gondorians and Dunedain, and, well, you get the idea. But many humans stayed in Rûn. Sadly, most of these seem to have fallen under the control of Morgoth and later Sauron, and stayed that way as generations, centuries and millennia passed. These humans became known as the Easterlings. Overall, if the culture of the parts of Middle-earth we know best is resonant of Britain and the hither parts of Europe, as Tolkien once memorably put it, the land to the east, Rûn, reflects, as he said, Asia, China, Japan, and all things which people in the West regard as far away. This was from an interview in 1966, which has led some to wonder whether, as the West in the legendarium symbolically represents goodness and hope, the East represents the opposite. Personally, I think not, at least partly because this is just a matter of perspective. Mordor and Sauron may be east to the people of Gondor or the Shire, but to the people of Rûn, it's west. Sauron's relationship to Rûn is important. During the Second Age, before his whole Rings of Power plan, Sauron spent some time among the Easterlings, becoming both king and god to them. And to be fair to him, he also seems to have helped them with a bit of economic development. Many walled cities started to appear, and armies armed with iron. After the War of the Elves and Sauron, he seems again to focus his time on Rûn, giving rings of power to the four dwarf lords there, and a human lord named Camul, who gained in power until he became a wraith. Camul is the only one of the Nazgûl whose name we know. He grew to be the second in command of the Nine. In the Third Age, the people of Rûn were freed from Sauron's rule, but still seemed to have been under his influence. There were sporadic attacks on Gondor and other free peoples. One attack in particular is suggestive of Sauron's involvement. Around the year 1000 of the Third Age, invaders from the east pushed west, occupying large parts of the Greenwood Forest and through to the Anduin River Valley. The hobbits who were living there at the time were forced further west themselves, eventually settling in the Shire, and the old elven fortress in the south of the forest was inhabited by a mysterious necromancer, and renamed Dol Guldur. Later on in the Third Age, there were the Wainriders, charioteers who inflicted great losses on Gondor, and even ended the line of kings in Gondor. That's when and why the stewards took over. And at some point in all this, the Blue Wizards were dispatched to the east. In the Second Age, they seem to have been broadly successful in their mission, causing dissension among the peoples of the East against Sauron's rule, then in the Third Age, weakening and disarraying the forces of evil. Saruman was with them for some of that time, though we don't know his contribution. But Tolkien also makes clear that in the end, they failed. He says that, "I fear that they failed as Saruman did, though doubtless in different ways, and I suspect they were founders or beginners of secret cults and magic traditions that outlasted the fall of Sauron." Which plays into the story that Tolkien started to write a few times before abandoning it, The New Shadow. A story set a couple of centuries after The Lord of the Rings, where Sauron's evil starts to appear again long after the ring has been destroyed. So although we don't know much about Rûn in the Fourth Age, we do know that even after it was freed from Sauron's influence, the darkness remained, or perhaps just the echo of darkness. So what does Rûn represent? I suspect that Tolkien wouldn't have liked the idea that it represented anything. It's mysterious and foreign, but not to the people who live there. And it's diverse. Rûn at its basest level is not even a place. It's many places, many cultures, and fundamentally just a direction, east. Beyond Rûn, there is a further east, and an even further east that is actually our west, Middle-earth. What is east of Middle-earth? Lands that we don't know, that are loosely based on lands in East Asia, but that Tolkien didn't really develop in his world, because his stories were based in the lands that he had a connection to. And that's okay. Rûn is purposely mysterious to the people of Middle-earth, but no less intriguing or wonderful because of it. If you'd like to see more videos digging into Tolkien's legendarium, there's a link now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.